Alpine Credits, where homeowners get approved.
Oh, hi. I'd like to apply for a loan so I can consolidate some of my debts.
Sure. Do you own your home?
Yes. But Carl, our resident ghost, keeps saying it's his house and we should get out.
Okay. But you are the registered owner.
Yes.
Then you're approved.
Hey, hear that, Carl? Huh?
Alpine Credits, where homeowners get approved.
Go to alpinecredits.ca to get started. Some conditions apply.
FSRA license 12616.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Dave Fastjack of the Toronto Star. We got a big hour role play level of concern at around 5:30. I think the Bills might come up for role play level of concern. Some tough news for them today.
Wow.
Yeah, big time. We'll get into that a little bit later on. And Ray Ferraro's coming up here in a moment. We haven't caught up with Ray in a while. Last time I think we had Ray on, the Leafs weren't arguably the hottest team in the league or close to it. And that's precisely where we find them right now after a big shutout in Dallas. All they do is rack up points. Marner gets another one last night. That's 20 games in a row with a point. Tavares scores again. Matthews scores again. They're top 4D. Not what you expected day one of camp, but, man, they've been solid. And Matt Murray was outstanding last night.
That Marner had a shift and killing a penalty. It was so impressive to watch. He forechecked, stripped the puck, carried it through the neutral zone, threw it back to his D. They went D to D, and he wasn't yelling, ice it. He said, give it back to me, and then started going the other way shorthanded. And he did the same thing when he scored that goal in Tampa. It was shorthanded. He's just so good, and he controls the play with just the way he anticipates, and he understands the way the defenders are moving, and he goes the opposite direction. He is so dialed in right now and fun to watch. It's really impressive.
I'll tell you what, too, guys, and Ray will be able to comment on this because Ray was between the benches last night in Dallas, so he had a great view. I saw him there before the game. But Marner, to me, like when, and we've watched this kid an awfully long time in this market, going back to his days in the GTHL, it looks like there's a weight off his shoulders. Like it looks like he's at ease with himself in a way I've never seen him before, you know, even with his media obligations and the way he's playing on the ice and everything he's doing, he's looking like he's enjoying life. Whereas in the past, in the very recent past, he has looked like he's a man burdened by his situation of being a star Maple Leaf. And I'm seeing a big difference.
Yeah, I'm seeing the same thing. I think that's an important distinction to make, too, is that's a sign of maturity. You know, he's been here for a while now. He's into his seventh year. And, you know, the contract and the negotiations and all that, that's behind him. And guess what? He's playing up to it. Like, I'm sure there was an element of doubt. Like, how do I play up to this? There was a lot of noise surrounding, you know, what he's worth and how many years. Guess what, man? This guy's been a rock star. And he's playing with confidence. I find his interaction with the media afterwards, to your point, Dave, is very relaxed. And, you know, I think forthright, detailed, but also he knows he's in a good place. Like, he knows he's arrived. Like, he's one of the best players in the league. Like, it's indisputable. He's a superstar. Like, that's really what he is, and he's worthy of that title. And it's not just the Austin Matthews show. Like, I think if you're tuning into a game, you're tuning into Mitch first. Like, last night, Marner played 23 minutes.
Yeah, because if you didn't know anything about hockey and you were like, and if you just told a person that never watched the Leafs play and said, find the two guys or find two or three guys that make the most impact on the game or shift by shift that are most noticeable, right now you're starting with Mitch Marner.
He's a clear-cut number one.
Austin Matthews had that situation where he scored that goal, and that was vintage Austin Matthews. And one of the few times this year he went into bully mode. And what I mean by bully mode, it's not Eric Lindros run over you bully mode. It's get the puck and you're not going to stop me because I'm going to get it and rip it through the net bully mode. But that wasn't the whole game. Like, Marner does it almost shift in and shift out where you're like, that guy either has the puck, he hunts the puck, or he's trying to hunt the puck or making a great play every shift. He doesn't stop. And he's using his little cliche buzzing. He's buzzing.
He's buzzing, and it's situational, to your point, because he's killing penalties. He's the guy out there on a 5-on-3. Like last night, Mitch played 23 minutes. Matthews played 15:36. Nylander, 15:16. Tavares, 16:59. Now, they had seven penalties, and that's going to factor into the amount of minutes being played, clearly, because the other guys don't kill. But like he's out there 8 more minutes. That's like 12 more shifts. Mm-hmm. You know,
and
12,
you, Hayes, you talked about penalties. This one negative from last night. If you're a role player, you can't do silly things out there. Pierre Engvall, I don't care how it happened. I don't care if you were engaged. You cannot take a 4-minute high sticking. And Justin Hall, you can't play hand grenades in your own end. Like, role player, that was a weird one.
That one was
just
strange.
Roll. Say, like, they talk about learning lessons, stuff like that. It's got to be just a staple. Guys that are grinding out specific roles and being role player, can't do silly stuff, especially come playoff time. Those stupid penalties like that, it can't happen. That's the only kind of negative that they need to, and I'm sure they understand it. But Pierre Engvall, if you're not going to be doing a whole lot out there, you can't take that penalty whatsoever.
You're right, and that's the brain cramps are still there. And you're right, to the if you don't have Matt Murray, you know, being there for you, like they played a pretty poor first period last night. They did not, even though they emerged at the first intermission up 2-0. Like the first 15 minutes of that period, they were not engaged, and they were getting absolutely overwhelmed by the pressure of the Dallas Stars, and they have to thank, you know, A, their defenseman for blocking some shots, and B, you know, obviously Matt Murray for making big saves. It can look bad quickly here, right? If you don't get those saves,
yeah, no kidding.
So you're
dude.
Right.
That's
Odog.
What goaltending
like some of the
does.
Details tend to slip.
Yeah.
Goaltending does that, and I've said it forever. They save a lot of video. If they end up going in and that's a loss, you got to sit your ass down and watch video for hours about how brutal you are defensively. You don't have to do it when you win.
No, and Murray was he was spectacular last night. I mean, that's the best I've seen him play, you know, during the regular season, period.
Oh, yeah.
Anywhere, Pittsburgh, Ottawa, Toronto, he was outstanding. You mentioned Ray Ferraro. He was between the benches last night calling it for ESPN, and he joins us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Last time we talked to you, Ray, I believe the Leafs were kind of doing their up-and-down dance, and we weren't quite certain how this was all going to play out. Fast forward a month and a half, and they're arguably the hottest team in the league. I mean, what was it like up close and personal? Because pretty much every night they're picking up 2 points.
I thought yesterday was really a weird game. Because if I were to look today at the score and go 4-0, I would, you know, my first thought would be, geez, they must have dominated the game, and it wasn't that. Like I you know how much it bugs me, Hayes, to agree with you.
Yeah.
You know, like this is decade old stuff.
Right.
And that's the best game I've ever seen Matt Murray play. Like I thought he wasn't lucky, he wasn't fortunate, he was just good. Like right from the very beginning, it was like Dallas had a chance or two and then Tavares scored. Then Dallas had like 7 chances and then Matthews scored. And like at the end of the period, it was 2-0 and it didn't feel like that. They had like that one power play Toronto had. They gave up a 2-on-1 and a 3-on-1. You're like, what the heck is going on here? And it didn't matter. He was so good. So I thought last night was actually one of the maybe less impressive games that they've played, and they won 4-0. I'm really impressed. Like I thought their defense wasn't good enough at the start of the year, and then they lose all those guys, and somehow it gets better.
How's Marner look ice level, Ray, from what you've seen in the past and where he's at right now?
Man, he'd be a pain right now to play against. He's just like every time the puck's there, he's like he's a stick length away from it, right? Like he's all over the play. He's even like he didn't have, you know, an amazing night by any stretch, but it's like he's always right where the puck is. Like it's like the game's slow for him right now. He just kind of, he knows, you know, kind of like where the puck's going next, and he's there. The puck comes to him. He makes a good play or a great play. Like I said last night in the game, like he took that tripping penalty, and I go, I'm going to say that's the first mistake he's made in 20 games, right? Like he does the right thing all the time. And I'm interested because with Marner in particular, because it's pretty clear how much he drives like double-digit chances for Tavares or for Matthews, like whoever he's on the ice with. And Nylander's a totally different player. Having a great year, but totally different. And I would love to play with Marner. I would just get out of the way and try and get myself into a place to get the pass. He's all over it. He was all over it all the time again.
Well, you look at the stats. Obviously, he sets up Tavares last night. Tavares got 13 goals on the season, and Matthews has got 13. And Matthews was unassisted. Like, there's an example of what you're talking about. Matthews just said, all right, I'm doing this on my own. I'll take it. I'm scoring, and you can chew on it, Dallas. Where, like, Tavares, it seems like all his goals, he's like, where's Mitch? Let me get my stick on the ice, and let me find a way to score.
You know what's funny, though, Brian, is, like, that's the first time live that I've seen the Leafs this year. And, I think it's obvious on TV, but watching live, like, Tavares looks different. You know, like, he looks different. He looks a little quicker. I thought him and Jamie Benn kind of reminded me of each other in a sense last night. Like, two guys that, you know, their skating's got, you know, is not their greatest asset. The game's getting faster, and they've both kind of like reinvigorated their pace this year, both of them. And, you know, Ben had an amazing month in November, and Tavares had a great start to the season. And if they're gonna be able to keep the puck out of their net right now, like that, and your top guys are scoring like they are, they'll get past these injuries on defense. And then in the meantime, they've picked up all kinds of experience and game usage for Sandin and Liljegren, and they become different players. They become more accomplished, confident players. I mean, it doesn't always work this way, but this can be a real benefit for them, all the extra minutes they're getting.
Do you think there's a chance Dubas could change his approach? Let's say, 2 months ago he thought, surely I'm going to have to acquire a top four defenseman. With Riley coming back, Brody coming back, do you think there's a chance he doesn't end up doing that and maybe sticks with the defense he's got because of how well they've been playing?
If they do it for three more months, the deadline's in March, maybe. But doesn't it kind of feel like they need something else there? Like, it just kind of does feel that way, even though, like, it literally, it's they're giving up two goals a game for the last dozen games. Like, you can add whoever you want. It's not going to get any better than that. Mm-hmm. Now, if they keep doing it, at, say, 2.5 goals against a game or something like that, it's you might not need to do much. You might
if you get a chance to add, you always, like, look at Colorado last year. They got that Manson kid who was an upgrade on whoever else. It's just, you always have to try to add a player if you can.
But what if another problem springs up somewhere? Like, it might give them a little comfort to go, hey, maybe we are kind of okay. I still think they will. Like, I still think that would be a target to try and add somebody. But if you assume it's, that Muzzin's not going to play, and it's Riley and Brody and, and however they do the pairs, but Riley and Brody and Sandin and Liljegren and Hall and Giordano, and who are you taking out if everybody's healthy? Like, unless you're adding a difference maker, are you just making a deal to make a deal?
I was going to ask you, will tell them.
Pardon?
Yeah, I was going to ask you that. Like, when you looked at ice level at Giordano, really, in a lot of ways, he's become the de facto number one guy out there. He's the guy they trust the most right now with Riley and Brody out, with Muzzin not around. What do you make of this guy? He's the oldest skater in the league. There was a feeling that he couldn't munch up, 24, 25 minutes a night, but he's been doing it quite often lately. What are you seeing?
Actually, astounding. The amount of minutes that he plays and has... In a playoff run, he couldn't play 25 minutes every second night. Like, there's not many guys that can. He's 39 years old. Eventually, by March, he's going to be more tired than he is now. But I saw him yesterday. I just, talked with him for a minute or two, and I said, man, nobody gets more bang for the buck than the Leafs are getting from you this year. Like, it's what an acquisition it's turned out to be. Never mind last year, but now. Like, when they needed him most, he's been able to plug a massive hole on the blue line. So I, he's part of your six always. Can he be a top four guy? I kind of looks like he can, but that's why this season is so punishing, is by the end of it, you're going to, you know, some guys are going to be healthy, some guys won't be as good late in the year as they are early. Maybe the injuries, you know, save wear and tear on Brody and Riley as they come back and they can chew up more minutes, and maybe you found out that Sandin can handle 18 minutes, not 14 minutes. Like, a whole bunch of stuff can change. Maybe the sweet spot's 17 minutes for Giordano. This has been a really interesting 6 weeks, because it's hard to believe at one point there they were, you know, listing all over the place, right? And it looked like, oh, something had to be done, and it turned out they just needed to play better.
Well, really what happened was they got injured, and yet they somehow have recovered. And
you know, like, strategy.
It's a really bold strategy. Like, you know, I said last hour, right, I'm not surprised that Marner's a star. I'm not surprised that Matthews is scoring, Tavares and Willie. Like, everyone knew that. That was never a debate, right, if those guys would perform. But I think the top four of Giordano, Hall, Liljegren, Sandin, and the combination of Murray, Samsonov, and to a lesser extent, Sjogren, has saved the season. And I am surprised by that, because I obviously could never have predicted that Riley, Brody, Muzzin would all be out for an extended period of time. Yet they've collectively come together. And I'm curious, from your standpoint as a vet who's missed time in his career, like, what is the message to Brody and Riley when they rejoin the team and they see what's been going on? Do they change their game at all? They change their approach at all? How do you see that point?
No, I don't think so at all. I think you come back and what you end up bringing is, with all due respect to everybody else, is a better quality player that's going to fill up some of those minutes. You play to your potential, you know, as close to your potential as you can, and all this stuff is all great, but now you're plugging in a better player. Because as amazing as it's been over the long run, you can't tell me the Leaf defense is better with Brody and Riley in a suit.
Right.
It just isn't. So they're going to come back and, you know, like, Brody, what's he going to change? Nothing. He's going to move the puck. He's going to defend really well. He's going to skate well. And, you know, and Riley's going to, you know, play the minutes that he plays. And he's maybe they found another option with a power play. If Riley comes back, maybe he goes there. Maybe Sandin plays in a different spot. Maybe they flip them around a little bit. Now all of a sudden you've got these good players coming back, and you've got other options that you didn't even know you had. Because I think this is probably pretty great example of whatever the plans are, they don't generally work out that way. They, you know, sometimes the greatest things a team finds out is by accident. And, you know, I don't think you want to go through it, but you get injuries and you got to figure it out. Like, Colorado's good. I got their game coming up Sunday in St. Louis. They're bringing the Colorado Eagles there.
Right.
I mean, they got no players. I think they got seven forwards out. And so in that mix, they might find a young guy that they go, oh, geez, this guy, I didn't think he was ready yet. And, man, now he's a guy we could call up and we could use right away. And, you know, there's lots of good stuff that happens if the team can hang together like the Leafs have. It's been, honestly, it's been really, really impressive to watch.
With Ray Ferraro, it's been very impressive in Winnipeg, as we segue to, you know, another Canadian team that's on top of the world. They win last night. They beat their former coach in Paul Maurice. So I want to play the Mark Scheifele comments from after the game, where he was asked about, you know, the feeling in the room after beating Maurice and the Panthers, and here's what Scheifele had to say.
I'm not going to lie, that was a good win in my books. You know, pretty happy with that one. You know, but at the end of the day, we know, you know, we moved on. We're a different team this year than we were last year, and you know, it's been exciting for a lot of us. You know, I think you see the rejuvenated, you know, faces in this room. You know, Bones has really been on us a lot. You know, each and every day, whether it's a good game or a bad game, he's always looking to help us.
And he kind of went on and on and on. I interpreted that as Shifley and Paul Maurice may not be exchanging Christmas cards. Do you have a similar interpretation, Ray, or what?
Yes, and I can also add Jake DeBrusk and Bruce Cassidy to that list, too. When Vegas was in Boston the other day, they asked DeBrusk about Cassidy, and he talked about Jim Montgomery for 3 minutes. it was exactly the same thing, and I was like, huh, it's pretty clear what the deal is there. And I find it really interesting this year. There is this narrative that we hear quite frequently about when coaches get hired and fired. Oh, they go back to the old well. They hire the old guys again. And why don't they bring in new blood? And so think of this year. Pete DeBoer goes to Dallas. They've had an amazing start that I don't think anybody really thought was quite there. Jim Montgomery gets back into it as a head coach and goes to Boston. Amazing, great start. Bruce Cassidy gets fired and goes to Vegas. Amazing start in Vegas. Rick Bonus gets fired. He's 67 years old. He comes to Winnipeg and turns out maybe he's not a dummy. And so, rarely do these coaches' switches all work like they have. I don't have the answer for why, but there is some balance between newness and experience, and there's also some players some coaches run out of track with a player and a team. And it seems in certainly Cassidy's case in Boston and Maurice's case in Winnipeg that was part of the deal, that the track just came to an abrupt end.
Yeah, it sure feels that way. And, Florida, something's up there. Right, I don't know what your read is on that situation, but Barkov hasn't been playing. He's been out with this illness, and that's obviously a significant hit to the roster. But you mentioned Colorado. I have faith Colorado will likely patch it together, but they got to be a little bit anxious there with all those injuries. But something's up with Florida, the Rangers, the Alberta teams. These were locked playoff teams a year ago, and supposed to be locked playoff teams this year, and we're into December. I mean, it can't be all rosy around those spots.
Well, New York's is certainly on fire. for a team that went to the Eastern Conference Final last year, things haven't gone very well. I mean, there's a laundry list of things. I think I did almost every one of their playoff games last year, and then I look at their team this year, and they're just not as good. It was impossible that the goalie was going to stop the puck 93.5% of the time. Shesterkin was .935 last year. That's not happening again. They lose Kopp, Vatrano, Mott. They hope that, Lafreniere and Kako can fill in, but they're just young, and they're just, they just played them the other night with Zibanejad together, and maybe they're going to give them a run as guys that play together, but that's a big loss for them. Trocheck replaced Strome. He hasn't really meshed well with Panarin, which was the thought when they brought him in and paid him a 7-year contract. And then if Florida's got no players. Their cap is, they're dressing barely the minimum of players all the time. So they're dodgy this year. I could see Florida being a team that doesn't quite get it together. I mean, they might. They've got some really super talented players, but it just might not fit for them this year. They need cap space, and you're not trading people away to get it, because nobody's got any room to take any players right now.
Well, what do you make of that, Ray? I mean, that team was so good last year in the regular season, but they were searching for something, right? They needed a new coach, and they wanted, they wanted Matthew Tkachuk instead of Huberdeau. They were looking for, whether it was chemistry or a different type of hockey, and it doesn't seem to be panning out. How do you sort of analyze it in the early going here?
Well, okay, so they had 122 points. They had a whole bunch of them after extra time. I think their 3-on-3 and shootout record was just off the charts last year. So maybe a little bit of the model that we saw from Tampa 4 or 5 years ago when they got knocked out by Columbus. They said, we got to be bigger and stronger, got to be harder to play against. And Tampa, though, didn't materially change everything in the way that they went about it. They added in players that played on their third line. They didn't attack the top end of their roster. And so that changed when they ended up with that Coleman, and Coleman came in the one trade, and that was just all of a sudden it was a it was a spark for them. But then they couldn't afford that whole third line left. And so their change, though, my point being, was to the depth part of their roster. Florida attacked the top end of their roster, plus they lost for a team that wasn't really deep on defense. You know, Mackenzie Weegar went to Calgary. They don't really have the cap room to replace him. And so I just don't think they're as good a team. And you know, there was zero chance they were getting 122 points again this year. No. And so now you say they are closer to, say they figured they could squeak their way to 100 points. That's 22 points that go somewhere else. And you know, you got teams like Detroit and Jersey that, you know, Jersey's had an amazing start, but those teams are just chewing up extra points, and those are points that are coming off Florida's total. They're points coming off of Washington's total. Like, isn't it crazy? Like, if Washington didn't trade either goalie, they'd have Vanecek and Samsonov.
No kidding.
You know, like, jerseys for real, Ray?
I do. Oh, I thought they were too small. Like, they're just these little water bugs that just fly everywhere. Their forwards are small. But they haven't clinched a playoff spot, but how are they going to miss now?
No, they're getting in.
They're in. So now maybe as they get towards the deadline, Tommy Fitzgerald can add a big forward if he sees, okay, that's the place that we want to add one. But he's going to have months to take a look at his team, and he doesn't have to. He can target shop, which is the best way to shop, as opposed to, you know, walking into the trade deadline and saying, oh, we need a penalty killer, and we need a D, and we need a this, and we need a that. They might need a bigger forward to complement some of their, you know, their high end skill. Because, man, I don't know if teams have watched or people have got a chance to watch them much, but you should, because, man, they are fun to
watch.
They're
fun. Yeah, the Leafs played them a couple times recently. They're flying, and they danced around Chicago last night. I mean, that jersey, to your point, they're going. It's just a matter of how good they'll be when they get to the finish line. We'll leave it there, buddy. We always appreciate you finding time for us. And if we don't catch up before the holidays, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and we'll do it again soon.
Yeah, you bet. Same to you guys. And it'll be, you know, I got a pretty light schedule between now and Christmas. I was telling Chris Cuthbert last night, and I can be sure I'll be ordering stuff on Amazon on December 21st.
You should be.
I will not get my stuff done. I just know it.
Sure it's prime so it gets to the next day.
Oh,
if it shows up on the 26th,
I don't know
screwed.
What your house is like, Hayes, but I, you know, with kids, I can imagine the driveway at our house looks like a roundabout. Amazon trucks coming in here like crazy. Right. I think they're using it as a parking depot.
No kidding. It's like my wife has a direct line to Bezos. Like, I think she just sends him text messages.
Says, can you send over some paper towel?
Yeah, Bezos, send that over quick, please. Anyway, enjoy it, buddy. We'll do it again soon.
Okay, you guys be well. Eh? Great to talk to you.
You too. There's Ray Ferraro joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Build your next dream Toyota at Maple Toyota and check out Maple Toyota's pre-owned inventory. Arriving daily, it's time to Toyota. Visit MapleToyota.com.
Those packages arriving, aren't they something else?
Crazy. It is crazy, the amount of trucks around every neighborhood. They're just single massive boxes with like a little, a tiny piece of, you know, soap or something.
Those big boxes, there's 30 different things in there.
Sometimes. Not always.
30 different things in there.
Like, this is not sustainable. We talk about where we're going with this world and the earth and all that. You cannot have massive boxes being dropped off daily with one item in them. It's not sustainable. Like, no way we can continue this. Anyway, thanks again to Ray. John Schneider, the Jays, just after 6. Ramona Shelburne on a game tonight, Raps Lakers, that should be Raptors by 20. Which scares you a little bit considering the way they've been playing. We'll get to that in about an hour. Role play level of concern next.
You can never, ever ask me to stop drinking. Do you understand?
I do. I really do.
Bourbon. All right, role play level of concern, one of our favorites. It's a Wednesday around 5:30, so we know the way this works. We go around the table. We're, you know, applied a person, team, thing, whatever, and a scenario, and we have to announce our level of concern. A pint on the patio, no concern. Maybe a six-pack and a shot or two. Mediocre concern, Nick Cage leaving Las Vegas. Nuclear option of concern. All right, Oh, let's start with you. You are playing the role of Maple Leaf fans that want the team to trade for a defenseman, a top four defenseman. What is your level of concern that Kyle Dubas may leave the defense alone after this recent strong run?
I'm a glass of ice water with lemon.
Wow.
You know why? You know why?
Why?
Because of a person I just mentioned a couple days ago named Josh Manson. I think if to go where they want to go, and this is only if the opportunity comes up, Hayes, but as much as people, they love to rip on everybody, including the management team downtown and everybody involved, they're pretty smart people, and I'm sure they understand that they've got a good thing going. If they do want to go where you want to go, you look at Tampa Bay, the getting Savard for a cup run, Colorado getting that guy. It's just, if you can acquire one, you do it. It's just pretty common sense. Like, if there's somebody sitting out there from a bottom feeder team and somebody's available, and I don't know who that guy is right now, and I'm not going to mention any more guys because the guys that I all like, they don't get picked up, and it just doesn't happen. But I think everybody involved knows you make it happen. You do it.
Right.
So I'm a glass of water with a lemon.
With a little splash of lemon. That is nice. No concern. Yeah, and listen, you don't want to be a prisoner of the moment. You know, like as Ray just pointed out, Mark Giordano has been spectacular. It's amazing. He's playing 23, 24 minutes a night. It's so quiet. You don't even notice him.
But do you think that at his age he can go through four rounds and do that?
Like, no.
No way.
Come on, no, I don't.
People.
And I don't know. Like Sandin, I've loved his game recently. I've loved Liljegren's game recently. I don't know if they can do it every other night for 2 months either. Like, that's asking a lot for them to be elevated. So I think that's an appropriate level of concern. All right, Dave, you're playing the role of the New York Yankees. What is your level of concern that contract you just handed Aaron Judge will be an absolute albatross by year five of the deal?
Well, if I'm Hal Steinbrenner, guys, I'm ordering, let's say, 15 cases of the most expensive champagne on the planet.
We have never heard that level of. That's almost
that's
Nick
a new
Cage.
That's
no,
a
no,
level.
It's a twist, though. I'm not going to drink it. I'm going to bathe in it. I'm going to bathe in it. I'm going to brush my teeth with it because I'm rich and I don't care about money. This is my franchise is worth $6.5 billion. Like, the only franchise that's worth more in North America is Jerry World down in Dallas. I am not concerned about this. I know it's going to be an albatross in year five. The guy's going to be 31 years old in the first month of the season. He'll be 36 by then. Bat speed's going to go down. He's not going to hit. Forget 62. This guy's going to be lucky to hit 22. But guess what, guys? You know, if I really get hard up for cash, I could sell the naming rights to Yankee Stadium. But you know what? I don't need to. That's why it's called Yankee Stadium, because the money doesn't matter. I'm going to sell a jersey patch that's worth 40, like that's almost worth 40 million bucks a year. Some people say 20, 30 million bucks for the jersey patch they're putting on the freaking pinstripes. So, no, I'm not concerned.
Yeah, I think that's appropriate as well. I mean, everyone knows what it's going to be. It's going to be
right.
Miguel Cabrera 2.0. It's going to be a disaster the final few years of the deal. But you know what you get in the first three or four, and it's the Yankees. They print money. It doesn't matter to them. All right, I am playing the role of Masai Ujiri. What is my level of concern that the team is not as good as I thought it was? I think it's a mediocre level of concern. Now, it's not full Nick Cage because I didn't do much. All right, I brought in Otto Porter Jr. That's effectively all I did. I drafted Christian Coloco. I didn't do anything. Like, I didn't try to improve like Cleveland improved, like Atlanta improved, other teams in the East that kept getting better and better. But we've had injury problems. We've got Fred VanVleet, who couldn't hit the broadside of a barn right now from three. That's not going to continue. But I can't sit here and say it's a pine on the patio, because there are teams in the East that improved, that got better. All of a sudden, Brooklyn got Steve Nash out of there. They're winning some ball games. They've blown past us in the standings. I'm still waiting for Miami to come alive, which I think that might happen. And if they push into the top 10, then it gets a little bit dicey. I'm like a six-pack and a few shots, because top six is starting to look like a grind for my Raptors. And once you get into the play-in territory, once you get Miami possibly waking up.
Dude, you said it though, Hazy. Like, it's getting, like, we're into December now.
Yeah, they played 24 games.
possibly waking up is a concerning statement for any team, including Miami Heat.
Scotty Barnes, that's true, too. Like Miami, now they've had injury problems, and they would cite that. The Bulls have had injury problems. I think the Bulls are too far back. I don't think they get back in the race. But I'm not buying Indiana stays where they are. I think at some point Indiana, the wheels will fall off a little bit. But the other teams, Boston, you're not capturing right now. Brooklyn, I don't know. They got enough talent, clearly, to be top six. You're chasing Philly. If Miami gets going, I mean, the Raps, it's looking more likely it's a play-in scenario and possibly on the road. So, you know, there's some concern there. Like, Masai built himself a team that is generally – last year they were in the top six, right?
Yeah.
Last year they were fifth in the East. It's not going – it's not been a great year. Let's call it what it's been. I mean, it's been a mediocre year at best. They're probably worthy of a 500 record, which is exactly where they're at.
Especially for a team, guys, that, you know, what were they talking about? It's got to be about internal improvement.
Mm-hmm.
Well, where's the internal improvement? I mean, OG Anunoby, okay, yeah, he's taking a step for sure, and he's been healthy, which has been a huge step. But Scotty Barnes hasn't taken a step forward. He's kind of been, you know, going sideways, maybe a little bit backwards. You know, Koloko's going to take a lot of time is what we found out about that kid. And there's been some pretty stagnant development from the other guys on this roster. The Malachi Flynn's of the world, the Delano Banton's of the world that you were hoping would become something. They're not becoming those things.
Dave, we were talking about it yesterday. How long does the world championship, like, buy them? Because it's still, there's that built-in Nick Nurse as the coach that took them there. The guys that were on the roster, there's still this team that their attention to detail and work and, you know, their defense and no one works harder. How long does that go on, like the championship stuff with kind of the protection around them?
It only lasts as long as the guys that were on that team are playing well. And if, you know, like Fred VanVleet's having an off year and has had injury issues last year, you know, Siakam's been good, but he's also, you know, the health issues always hovering. You know, as soon as those guys are no longer around, the shine is off. And look, Masai Ujiri's still going to be untouchable for a long time because he's the highest paid executive in the NBA and he's got a bulletproof contract. But it doesn't mean that his touch is going to be golden.
Yeah, I mean, you look at this season. Siakam's been outstanding when he's played, and Anunoby's been the story. Anunoby's been the positive of the season. Beyond that, Trent's taken a step back. Van Vliet's not had a good year.
Yeah.
Barnes taken a step back. They've had injury problems. You know, Otto Porter's barely been available. They're moving the rotation around trying to find guys. Yeah, they're in a battle. Now, it could be a lot worse. You know, they're 500. They're in a playoff spot. I still think they finish in the top 10. But it's more likely they're playing themselves into the playoffs for the first time, the way things are going here. All right, moving on. Role play level of concern. Oh, you're playing the role of Joe Sakic, the head honcho in Colorado, the architect of the cup-winning Colorado Avalanche, who are absolutely getting crushed by injuries. What is your level of concern? The injuries that continue to pile up most derail your cup defense this season?
I've never done this in my career on overdrive, but I'm going back to back glass of water with lemon wedge.
Wow.
Because
you guys are getting smoked every night. No concern.
Watch yourself with that talk, because all I need to do, and I don't even care about a 1, 2, 3, 4 seed, I need these guys to put band-aids on this thing and drive the bus and just squeak into the playoffs. And if my big boys can come back in time for the playoffs, watch out. I don't know about Georgiev, how good he can be, and if he can hold the fort down. But Nate MacKinnon and company, you get Cale Makar cooking, you get the band back together, it'll be tough, but I just got to get in and watch out the rest of the NHL. Watch out.
Yeah, listen.
Yeah.
They're a great team, but they are holding on by a thread right now. Just
how about this? I'll move away from the water at with the lemon wedge, and I'll go with 3 nice tall beers for lunch.
Okay. Maybe light beers.
Okay.
Right? Nothing crazy.
Coors Light.
Yeah, just a little Coors Light. There you go. All right, Dave, moving on here. You are playing the role of the Buffalo Bills. Man, you took you got some bad news today. What is your level of concern? The Von Miller injury, which is now surgery, ACL, he's done for the year. will officially derail your Super Bowl chase.
Man, you got to play it.
You.
Oh, Davey.
Never ask me to stop drinking.
I mean, this level of concern, fellas, this is like drinking all the beer at the tailgate, mm-hmm. and then on the way in to the stadium in Orchard Park, sort of picking up random cans of beer that have been thrown on the ground and seeing if there's any left in them. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, that's the level of concern here with Von Miller being out, because this guy was your championship piece, right? He's coming from the Rams, who won it last year. He had the 2 sacks in the Super Bowl. He's leading your team in sacks this year with 8. He's second on the team in tackles for losses. He's your big play guy. He's your wisdom guy. He's your veteran leadership guy. And now he's gone, guy. This is a massive, massive blow, and I'm not sure they can recover from it.
I want to know how this happened.
I know, but this guy was brought in as the closer type piece, but it's not like they were garbage without him.
No, you're right. But, yeah, I mean, listen, they're still going to the playoffs. They're probably going to win the division, but the whole thing about him was, like, the Bills are kind of like the Leafs. They've won playoff games, but it's all about what they're going to do in the playoffs, and Miller was going to chase Mahomes. Miller was going to chase Burrow, and now it's gone. And I want to know how it went from him telling, you know, the world he's out for a game or two, to him being on IR so he can, you know, completely recover and be fine in 4 weeks, to all of a sudden the surgery. Like, how did this happen? Like, I thought he was coming back.
Dude, the heavy hitters get involved, the team doctors and his agent, and it's just like, if somebody looks at you and says, you need surgery, you're getting surgery.
I guess.
There's no other way around
it. Crippling, man. It's a huge
exactly.
Thing.
And look, I mean, and everybody was saying, and that was the thing. Like, you listened to the guys on that defensive unit talk, and they were all like, look, we can hold it down without Vaughn. We can hold it down until he's back. And now they're getting the blind side that, guess what? He ain't coming back. I mean, this is a bad day for Buffalo.
It's huge, man. Like, I agree with you. A lot of people that you hear, pundits in the NFL, analysts, former players, it seemed like almost all of them were like, without Von Miller, they can't win a Super Bowl. Like, I'm not willing to go that far, but it's a massive hit. Like, maybe outside of Allen and Diggs, you know, maybe even Diggs is the equivalent. Maybe they're on the same level. Like, clearly, you lose Allen, you're done. But I think you're right.
I think
Diggs and Miller are the same. And they just got Tre'Davious White back. That's significant. But, man, Miller, he is an absolute X factor. Pass rushing machine that you got to double team, and even that it doesn't always work. And yeah, the Bills, and you can't replace it now. It's over. It's done.
Nah.
It's crushing for the Bills. Crushing news. All right.
So
we'll leave it there.
Dallas is looking around and sniffing around. Apparently, they're not going to offer OBJ. Is there just some guy just sitting on his couch somewhere? Are they going to have to bring somebody in Buffalo, or what the hell are they going to do?
I don't see how they do that. I mean, I don't unless someone gets cut or put on waivers. Why? But not anyone of that substance. Like, no one that is like Von Miller. I mean, Von Miller.
You just
got to
hope the guy, the old proverbial next man up. You hope some of you guys overachieve, and maybe they surprise you. That's all you can hope for.
Yeah. You know what it does, though? It puts more pressure on Josh Allen, is what it does. Because he might have to win 45-44, you know?
Yeah.
And that's tough, man. That offense, they're loaded, but there's already a lot of pressure on him. And if they got to go into Arrowhead or they got to go to Cincinnati or whatever, man, beating Burrow and Mahomes without Von Miller, that's going to be tough. It's going to be very tough. John Schneider coming up, manager of the Jays in about 20 minutes. Ramona Shelburne on the Lakers in town tonight as well. Raptors-Lakers in Toronto here on TSN tonight. So we'll get to that game into the final hour. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. Overdrive has a pair of tickets to see the Leafs take on the Lightning December 20th. Every day this week, we will provide the clue to the identity of a current or ex-Maple Leaf player. And on Friday, you'll have a chance to call in and name that Leaf. Today's clue, the third of the week, this former Maple Leaf passed the 20-goal mark 3 times in his career. 3 times in his career, he scored 20-plus.
That doesn't mean 3 times in Toronto?
No, could be anywhere.
No.
Yeah, could be anywhere. So there you go. There's your clue. That's a big game. Leafs Lightning, man. December 20th. That'll be a good one.
Dude, I'm running the clues next week. I actually won't be, but.
Yeah.
Next time.
At some point, you'll take over the clue. The clue master.
The clue.
The Clue Master. Love that.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love that
That's
one.
That's you. It's your new handle. All right, I look forward to it. You guys see this? I read this morning. Let me read this for you, and you guys respond, all right? A teacher out in BC, a teacher in the Delta School District has been suspended for a day in order to take a course on creating positive learning environments after admitting to showing adult-oriented movies to her grade 2 students, including the R-rated horror classic Halloween. Can you imagine being a grade 2 and being subjected to the movie Halloween? Like, how terrifying
that would
be.
Did you say other type of movies?
Yeah, but not like porn or anything like
that.
Oh,
okay.
It was like
Iron
Man.
When you said adult, I was like, what do you mean by adult?
Yeah, well, I'd be burying the lead if I'm talking about Halloween. Meanwhile, you know, there's porn being shown or whatever.
You just got to remove the person and say, like, you got to go check out Jiffy Lube or something. This is not for you.
Just buffoonery.
It's like, let's get to Jiffy Lube and start working, cranking tires off and putting new rubber on them.
Right.
And we'll get some oil changes cooking.
We'll find a new teacher.
I'm not sure that could be addressed in one day. I'm not sure this problem can be addressed in a day.
I don't see it either. I mean, I have a kid in grade 2. Like, I'm 39. I'd be I'm still scared.
Terrified,
I need to watch Halloween with the lights on.
Oh,
you know,
I'd never watch it.
I don't know if I'd write the principal on this, but I think I'd write the teacher directly and say, are you an idiot? Like, what are you doing? Can you explain your thinking here, please? Halloween for 7-year-olds?
Well,
like,
calls into question the teacher's judgment in a large way, right?
Yes, I would think so. Final hour coming up. John Schneider will join us of the Blue Jays. Raptors, Lakers tonight. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.